Okay, so we're going to look at page 7. We're going to take a look at healing in the New Testament. It should be healing in the New Testament. So, okay, so what we're going to look at in this teaching basically is to look at healing from a holistic point of view. Pat indicated in the teaching that oftentimes when people come for physical healing, there's a need for inner healing that is a key to their physical healing. And one of the reasons for that is because we aren't compartments. And so a person that comes with a physical issue isn't just a body, that they are a soul, their emotions, their relationships, their past experiences, and so on. All that has a bearing upon the brokenness they're experiencing in their body. So oftentimes as we address the prayer for their inner wounds or relationships, it opens up the door for physical healing as well. In addition to that, something we'll just throw in as a side note, and that is the best kind of prayer with a person is the prayer you can pray over a period of time that's concentrated, like a 30-minute, 40-minute appointment with them, because then you can begin to minister to them in a way that doesn't just address the main issue they came for, which might be physical healing. It might be other areas of their life where wants to work and in touch and heal that frees them to be able to receive physical healing. So we're going to take a look at healing in the New Testament, a holistic viewpoint here. So look at number one here. Healing is the wholeness of the total person and their environment. An environment consists of their past as well as their present, their relationships. It also includes, as we'll see in a moment, death too. People's attitudes towards death can either help or hinder them receiving healing. Healing is all inclusive. You can take a look at this at your leisure time, but in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is addressing the issue with people that came to him about John the Baptist was asking, you know, are you the one? Should we look for somebody else? And he said, tell John that the sick are being healed, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, demons are being cast out, the poor have good news preached to them. So Jesus was addressing the whole picture that, hey, tell John that the kingdom has broken in and all these different dimensions of healing are taking place for people's lives. Healing in the Greek language, soza, is a common word. It also means salvation. We think of salvation in the physical, in the spiritual sense of sins are forgiven, which is right. It's a dimension of it. But it's more than that. It's also the healing of the body. It's also healing of the mind, the heart, the relationships. With Jesus' coming, this has begun in the kingdom. And Jesus, when he came, he said, the kingdom is here. And then he backed it up with things that he did. He healed the sick. He brought people to forgiveness. He restored hope to people's lives. He was able to bring into people's lives a new relationship with God, heal their relationships with each other. He equipped his church to continue to do the same, and that will be this afternoon's teaching on that. So number two is healing is deliverance from evil. All types, I'm using evil in the broadest sense of the word here, all types of human destruction, death, for example. You know, we weren't made to die. I know it's commonplace in the obituary column every day, okay? But we weren't made to die. God never intended our bodies to be separate from our souls. And that's why we grieve, because the expression of a person's personality is not there any longer when we go view them at the funeral home. So where did they go? What happened to them? And we know intuitively that's because God never intended death to occur to us. Death came into the world as a result of sin. Sickness along came with that. Our church teaches that in the catechism, actually. Sickness and death are in the world because of sin. All kinds of evil. Poverty is evil. Abuse of different kinds, physical, mental, emotional, sexual, are evils. But in this age, what has begun to happen is the kingdom has broken into people's lives. So you take a look at all these evils, and we say that when Jesus came, the kingdom came with it. And then when he died and rose and went back to the Father and poured out the Holy Spirit, he equipped his church, empowered his church with his supernatural presence and power to be able to address the evils of this age, to bring to them the healing power and the kingdom to bear upon whatever evil that we're facing. I think that's really good news. Whenever we look at any evil in any of its forms, we say the good news is the power of God, the kingdom of God wants to address that And we do that in the name of Jesus, and we do that through the power of prayer. That doesn't negate the use of medicine or psychological sciences or psychiatric help or sociology. All that plays into the picture. But what we as the church bring is the power of prayer to bear upon people's lives in the face of whatever these evils are that are afflicting people. Catechism says in 15, and I won't read the whole thing, but I just love this beginning, heal the sick. Doesn't sound like a suggestion, does it? Sounds like a command. The church has received this charge from the Lord and strives to carry it out by taking care of the sick as well as by accompanying them with her prayer of intercession. Essentially, what we teach you today is prayer of intercession, praying with others, not just for them, but with them. Okay, so let's take a look at number 3 on page 8 here. Healing is forgiveness from sin. This, the woman that was came and washed Jesus' feet, bathed his feet with her hair, used fine oil that she probably purchased from her whatever job she was doing. It really made people upset by that. Jesus responded was, her sins are forgiven because she loved much. Jesus came to bring forgiveness of sins. Take a look here. Jesus came to bring forgiveness of sins in his ministry and at the cross. One day our relationship to God will be complete. As for now, God wants us to live in this gift now so we can be free of guilt, condemnation, inferiority, unworthiness, resentment. The Lord wants our hearts free because at the cross he purchased for us this gift of forgiveness and reconciling love. Number 4, healing is restoration from sickness. We normally think of sickness as brokenness of body, and it is. It's also brokenness of the soul. Mental illness, also a brokenness of the heart. Emotional wounds from the past. Generational healing. We didn't pop out of the sky all by ourselves. We came from generations. We came from relationships of the past. It's things that were passed down, can be passed down in family line. The Lord wants to heal and free us from. Healing is life from death. Let's take a look at this. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Eternal life begins for us now in this age. As Catholics, we believe it starts in baptism. But for those who live and die in the friendship of the Lord, then death is overcome for us. So death wasn't part of God's plan, but for those that live and die in the Lord's friendship, then death becomes an openness to the brightness of eternal life that the Lord had promised. Jesus' death and resurrection overcomes death now, and death will be destroyed in the future. I think one of the things that hinder our ability to receive healing, even physically, is because we're afraid to die. And not sure where we're going. Not sure our sins are forgiven. Okay. We're not sure that God will receive us, and we have a lot of hang-ups about death. But getting healed physically can sometimes be contingent on a person's fear of death. What Jesus came to do is he came to deliver us from the fear of death. He came to deliver us from the fact that death is not the last word to be spoken over our life, but he came and purchased eternal life for us at the cross. So oftentimes I found it important to pray, work with people in that area so they can work through their feelings about death, their attitudes towards death, and get free of the hang-ups in that area because that can prevent them from receiving healing. So, all right. Number 6 on page 9, healing is sharing God's abundance with the oppressed poor. Poverty and hunger are parts of the effects of the fall of our first parents. It's part of the evil that afflicts the human race. And the nature of God's heart is to give generously. So he wants to break the power of poverty in the lives of men and women. That comes through sharing of resources, which is a form of healing for people. Also comes from helping people to get free from the poverty mentality that they maybe grew up in. I can't tell you, in ministering to people who seemingly look like they're very, middle class, well-educated people, they came from impoverished backgrounds. And they carry with them all the mentality of poverty, even though they don't share the actual physical conditions of poverty any longer. They have to work for their freedom for that area. They carry a poverty mentality. and they need to be set free from the wounds of the past they experience. Poverty is an evil. It afflicts people in their mind, body, and spirit, as well as the lack of resources for their life. And this is something we have to work for towards healing of them. Again, and sharing our resources with the poor is also a way we begin to heal. But just remember, feeding, clothing them is so important, those who are poor, but it's more than that. It's also bringing to them the kingdom of God, breaking into their life that will set them free from the poverty mentality, from the wounds of poverty, from the inner wounds of poverty, from the demonic infestation that Pat had shared with earlier that can come from living in very oppressed economic and physical situations. Number seven, healing is growing in fellowship in the family of the church. We believe the best place for healing of any kind, physical, relational, inner healing, is developing healthy relationships with the body of Christ. All over and over again in the New Testament, let's take a look at some of the passages here. Romans 15:7, accept one another. John 13:34, love one another. Galatians 6:2, bearing one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another. 1 Peter 4:10, serve one another. And there's some, I think somebody located 50-some one another's in the New Testament, particularly in the Paul's epistles. You can only do one another's if you're in relationships with another, okay? That means developing relationships. That's why here at St. Patrick's, if you're from St. Patrick's, we're really lifting off the ground small groups, because we can't be healed without developing healthy relationships, and the body of Christ needs to cultivate that as a place of healing. So we can pray for people that get physically well, or even begin to have breakthroughs in the area of emotional wounds. They start to get healed, but their best source of growth in terms of how that healing will come to fruition in their life will be through developing healthy relationships in the body of Christ. As we cultivate healthy relationships, we continue to progress and grow in healing. So we like to think of healing then as not just a one-off isolated thing, but the best place for a person to truly grow into their healing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually is in developing relationships in the body of Christ that are ongoing, committed relationships to share life and prayer and faith with each other. Okay, so just to summarize here, basically healing is holistic. It's not just physical healing, or it's not just emotional healing, but it's the whole person. Jesus speaks to the whole person. He loves the whole person. He wants to work in the whole person's life, body, soul, spirit, relationships, even our view of death. And so when we minister to people, let me back up a little bit. He wants us to receive that for ourselves in areas of our life where we're broken, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationship-wise, stuck in patterns of sin that we can't get free of. The Lord wants to bring healing to us, and he looks at the whole person, every aspect of our hearts. But then when we're ministering to people, they aren't just simply a body in front of you. They are a whole person with a history and a set of relationships that have brought them to this place. Jesus loves every part of who they are, and he wants to use us as a vessel to minister to them. Okay, so what we want to do now for the next 20 minutes up to lunchtime is invite Pat to come forth again, and we're going to open the floor up to any questions, comments, particularly that you may have. She'll do our best to provide any understanding of those questions. So.